Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. My name is Paul Harvey, and I'm looking for answers. What does it mean to be successful? What does it mean to have a good, well-lived life? This podcast is conversations with people that look like they have it sorted. Hello and welcome to Life, Passion and Business. My name is Paul Harvey and this week's show is a little different. So for most of March I was on the road travelling on a different project and working with limited internet connections and things. I managed to schedule most of my shows and with internet connection and with guests, but it finally defeated me today as my guest and I couldn't find a convenient scheduled time. So this leaves me with a gap of a show without anybody to speak to. So I realized that the one person who you've not heard from on Life, Passion and Business is me. What is my story? So I thought it might be a useful opportunity for me to make a program about myself and see where that leads. And that feels a little uncomfortable in a way, and I think partly because when you have an interviewer in front of you, it's much easier to be candid because you kind of follow the questions. If I need to follow my own format of questions, how does that feel? So here goes. So I would normally start an interview conversation by asking someone their life story, how they got to where they got to. And this is no different. Let's see if we can do the same here. I remember growing up, I had a wonderful upbringing. I had a loving family, brought up in London with a brother and mother and father, of course. And I would say that my parents were lovely people. And I've mentioned my father before in this podcast, but I've never really spoken about my mother. But both of my parents came from relatively impoverished beginnings, I guess you could say. My mother grew up she was the last child of 13 children. And she grew up in the East End of London. So you can imagine there wasn't a lot of money around in her family and a lot of hand-me-down clothes and not a great deal of food, I would imagine. And I seem to remember my auntie telling me that the children would eat first and she was just waiting for them to stop eating so that then she could have her meal. So that gives you a kind of sense of it, of what it was like. And my father was a child who grew up in, I think it was Leeds he grew up in. He was a bit of a tearaway child in Leeds. And his mother died when he was 11. So that kind of shifted his life as well completely. And also both of my parents were war children such. So, you know, life was different for them. And the whole thoughts of achievement and things was never really something high up in their lexicon. It was very much about, you get the job, any job, it doesn't matter. You just get a job. And the whole idea of living a life of passion or living a life where you enjoyed your work was completely irrelevant. Now, I know my father struggled with his job in terms of he never really enjoyed it. I think he enjoyed it towards the end when he became in a more supervisory position. But prior to that, he never really enjoyed his work very much. And he was kind of working in what was part of the age of deference, I guess. Some of the stories he told me about being called by his last name in his working environment is quite weird, really. You know, Harvey, come here. I need to talk to you. And, you know, weird world. But I mean, you know, obviously towards the end of his life, he was retired for 35 years. So I guess working environment was different. But going back to this idea that, you know, when I was a teenager and just leaving school, it was about you get a job. it doesn't matter what job you get a job. And so I fell into, well, I actually wanted to be a photographer. And I can remember going to the school's careers advisor asking about how you get into photography and was told, don't bother, it's too difficult. Yeah, different days, I guess. I was directed to go into the film and processing because there was more work in that area. So I ended up, actually I did end up working in a film and processing company. And it was interesting enough work. I guess some of it was shop work, working with customers. And some of it was actually working in the darkroom, processing film. And then I moved on from that company some years later. As I went approached my 20s, I moved into the office environment. And eventually, I ended up in a purchasing and marketing role. And, you know, in my early years, what I noticed was is that I, although I would have waves and kind of, you know, waves of time when I was very motivated about my job or motivated about doing well within my job, it was always seemed very difficult to actually move the needle forward or to get anywhere in that environment. And I'm not quite sure what happened or why that happened. And what I became aware of when I look back now is that my passion left my work completely. My work became the thing that I did. And my passion became acting. And so I spent probably the latter part of my late 20s, most of my late 20s, involved in performance work and acting and learning more about the performing arts. And I guess that's where some of my speaking ability was developed, because I spent quite a lot of time on plays. I learned to sing. I had singing lessons. And I sang for probably 5 or 6 years into my mid late 30s. Actually, I was still singing in various projects and acting. And all of that stopped when I won. Bought a house, I guess priorities changed, and two, had a child. And those things kind of really shift, is it? They kind of shift where your passion lies. So I guess my passion for those external projects moved into the family unit. So it's interesting, this actually ties in with something that I think both Ketan Malawa said, Makwana said, and someone else. I think it was, I can't remember the guy's name, but two of my guests in the past few months have said that your passions will move over time as your priorities of the moment change and shift. And it's true, because as I said, I moved, you know, the whole idea of acting and singing and all that amount of effort and time it will take to maintain those passions, I didn't have the time for it when I had a young family. And then let's move on a couple of years. So I never had that much passion for the job I was in, and I recognized, this is after my son was born, I recognized that I had been trying to leave that company for years, and I would never leave it unless I actually physically moved so that I couldn't be there anymore. And we were looking for, you know, my wife and I were looking for somewhere new to live. And we decided to move to the West Country. And that we started thinking about and looking for places over in the West Country away from London. And then by a sheer accident, we had an opportunity to come up to Scotland to see Grandma, my wife's mother. And saw a property for sale and thought, wow, that looks nice. And the property was a bed and breakfast. And that was the whole idea, that we would instantly move and I could leave that job and the bed and breakfast would provide enough income to sustain us. Anyway, we didn't get that house. The price of it went beyond our budget. But it did actually open the idea to moving in this direction. And by an amazing sequence of coincidences. I mean, there are so many coincidences that kind of came together. We end up buying the house I currently live in. And that's where my passion shifted to be honest, because once we moved to Scotland, my passion was about the renovation of this property. And we have spent, we spent 6 or 7 years, if you like, working and doing this property up to our own specification. And it's, you know, it's a lovely place to live. And that's probably where my passion has been or was, you know, was spent in those years. And now, I guess my passion's moved on again. You know, the house is complete. And that's where I started this podcast. The house is complete. You know, my son is now 16 this year. So, you know, we have gone through the journey of the family. And now it's time to find new passion, new joys, new interests. And that's what I've been doing. So that's part of the journey. But also I recognise that I somehow along the journey lost my way. And that's why I started this podcast, because it was like, well, why have you lost your way? Where did the drive go to? Where did the drive to do stuff go to? And sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. But it's, again, back to what some of the guests have all said. It's about following the energy and saying yes. Anyway, I thought I would just give my story. And I guess my passions at the moment, where I am passionate about talking to companies who are experiencing disruption in their business caused by new technology. That's the kind of thing I'm really interested in at the moment, because I can see that there is a storm coming for many, many industries. And I am quite excited at the idea of taking that on. And it's a tiny thing. It's just a little idea at the moment that's sitting with me and starting to build and develop. And that's why I'm quite keen to kind of move that one forward. Another question I have for all of my guests is, what is the meaning of success? And that is a question that has changed for me over the years. If you ask me the meaning of success in my, say, 20s and late 20s, to early 30s, it probably would have been a salary in a company car. And those kind of thoughts of that leave at some point. And of course, I think success for me is about sustainability. Financial sustainability is certainly a big part of success, as well as living lightly on the planet. I guess that to me feels like a success in terms of treating it or my surroundings with the respect that it deserves. I'm not so engaged these days in the idea of success as things. So buying stuff, while fun, I recognize it doesn't last. So I'm not one that tends to buy gadgets or tech toys. I buy some, but not. But most of the things I buy tend to have a practical use. So success for me is very much about sustainability and about probably empowering others. I get a lot of buzz out of speaking to people and either listening to them and hearing their problems and helping them find resolution. So that is success. There's quite a lot of buzz for me in the success of other people. So certainly the success of my clients that I have in the marketing business, that is always interesting to see people finding or discovering a successful process. And part of that was brought about by the work that we did together. So that's success for me. And as for meaning, because that's always in the question, you know, what is the meaning of life outside the, you know, the jokes and the frippery? And that one, I'm still out there with that one, what the meaning of life is. Because if I look at it from a purely biological context, you know, we are animals just like everything else around on the planet. We just happen to think we're the most intelligent and have decided that we are, and therefore think that we run the place. And then there's the issue of thinking that we are in charge, or however you want to look at it from that perspective. And I do wonder, you know, and I'll keep asking that question, is there more to life than eating, drinking, having children, having families, and socializing as such, or making money? I still wonder what it's all about. I mean, so even if I am here helping others to live happy, fulfilled lives, what does that actually mean? You know, there is a lot here for me to kind of work out. I'm still no further forward on this conversation about what the meaning of life is. And I guess I have a deep admiration for those people that have found, for want of a better word, a spiritual calling. Because if you do speak to someone who is spiritually committed to a religion or a belief system, you know, and I mean committed from a perspective of free will rather than from a cultural commitment, they tend to be very fulfilled. I guess if the closest I can get to where this is from the Buddhist perspective, because I have followed Buddhism for a long time, in terms of that's the one kind of spiritual calling that tends to sit well with me. And I have gone through periods of time where I have sat and meditated or looked to find some form of connection in that way. And I'm not a good meditator, let's put it that way. I find it very difficult to sit for long periods of time. So at the moment, I am still out there in this perpetual quest for the meaning of life and how one finds meaning in life. Yeah, I mean, some people find it in travel. And I can see the beauty of travelling around, because there is a certain feeling. You're almost chasing a feeling of newness. Going somewhere completely new for the first time, there is a certain breathtaking away sort of feeling that is very closely connected to meaning. Certainly, I feel this times when I'm out in nature and looking at an amazing vista. I have friends that are very much into climbing mountains and stuff, and for them, being at the top of a mountain is the closest they get to God. I think that's the word that's been described to me. So I think there is something in that idea of seeing that huge space, and I think that may be to do with the actual space being surrounded by so much space. There's an overwhelm to the senses, and that overwhelm in itself kind of gives a feeling of something which is indescribable. So maybe it is in there somewhere. That feeling of indescribability is where the meaning of life sits. And we all have that, don't we? When we kind of watching the child take the first steps, there's meaning in that. Saying goodbye to a loved one at the last moments of their life, there's meaning in that. So maybe I'm on the cusp of understanding the meaning of life, and maybe I'm still scratching around like everybody else. As a continuation to that idea of meaning, I think there's a lot to be said for Doberman Dan's comment when we were off the recording and he started speaking off the cuff. I think there's a lot to be said about love and loving the self and loving those people around you. And if anything, that's probably a bigger spiritual connection or a connection of something. This idea of loving unconditionally, I think he's very deeply connected with meaning. And certainly it's something that I feel. But I'm still not completely, do I feel at one with the meaning of life in this moment in time? I mean, I have to say, I'm very happy at the moment. I'm speaking. I'm doing the thing that I enjoy most. And I think that's the point. In some way, I'm wondering if the meaning of life is about being distracted. When you're unconsciously occupied, is that it? Is that the place to be? Anyway, look, this conversation will roll and roll and roll because I still don't have an answer to it. And I think I will continue asking the question until I get a variety of answers. So finally today, before I sign off this program today, I wanted to share with you a resource which has helped me in terms of my process. And I think I'm going to start a habit of that, and I find resources. I think I will share them here because I think it's valuable that you know what I'm working with, and maybe you could share resources back to me or tell me about resources if you think there is anything of use. So today's resource that I want to share with you is called The One Thing. And it's a book by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. And it's called The One Thing, The Surprising Truth Behind Extraordinary Results. And the back of the book talks about, I'll read the blurb of the book for you so you can get a sense of it. If you want fewer distractions and less on your plate, the daily barrage of emails, texts, tweets, messages and meetings distract you and stress you out. The simultaneous demands of work and family are taking a toll. And what's the cost? Second-rate work, missed deadlines, smaller paychecks, fewer promotions, and lots of stress. Just to let you know, I'm actually struggling to read this with my bifocals and talk at the same time. God, the joy of aging, eh? And you want more. You want more productivity from your work, more income for a better lifestyle. You want more satisfaction from life and more time for yourself and your family and your friends. Anyway, The One Thing is a series, is a tool that allows you to cut through the clutter of everyday life. And it uses the principles of the 80-20 rule. And that is the Pareto principle. You can look that up if you wish. Basically, what it means is that 20% of your activity in your daily life creates 80% of the results. And the world is all split down the 80-20 rule. It may not be exactly 80-20, but there's always a split in terms of activity and connection to results. The majority of the work that we do or activity in our daily life does not take us forward anywhere. And this book sets out to prove that. It talks about the dangers of multitasking, and so many people do the multitasking thing. I look at my son and I despair at the amount of time he spends on his phone simultaneously doing homework, and it's like his friends are all the same, and it's like they don't seem to understand that when their mind is split between two things, they're doing both of them badly. It talks about discipline, but it talks about willpower. And the fact that both of these things are a limited resource. And the fact that habit forming good habits, is the way to get stuff done. It takes 66 days, basically, to create a good, strong habit. And after 66 days, the habit will be pretty much part of your everyday life. So those are really valuable tools to learn. And the book gives you ideas on how to do this. But the one big takeaway from the book is this thing that changes everything. Okay, so there's one focusing question that is really valid from this book, and that's the title of the book, which is called The One Thing. And what it gets you to do is to look at on a daily basis, it gets you to ask this question, what is the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary? And when you think that's quite an amazing idea, what is the one thing you can do now in this moment that would change everything? Hopefully it's listen to more of my podcasts. But in reality, there is always, if there is something that you want to achieve, there will be one thing that will move you forward in it. If it's get more clients, then that might be more phone calls. If it's have a cleaner house, it might be set up a cleaning routine. There's all sorts of things that will move us forward, but focusing on one thing at a time is the key to success. Anyway, I recommend the book. It's very, very valuable, and I will post the details in the podcast notes. So that is today. That is Life, Passion and Business with your host, Paul Harvey. And next week, we'll be back to the usual routine of a guest, as I have two interviews lined up this week, and there'll be no scheduling or technology problems to get in my way. Anyway, only remains me to say thank you for listening, and I'll catch you later.